Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy stocks a wide selection of books covering Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay region, many by local authors. Located at 6080 Falls Road, more information can be found at theivybookshop.com or by calling 410-377-2966.
Just after noon today, 18-year veteran homicide detective Sean Suter was pronounced dead. 43 years old, married, father of five. His wife, Nicole, is here with him. His children, Sean, Zaria, Marquise, Chris, and Demira are also here, surrounding Sean, loving Sean, as the Baltimore Police Department has been here constantly since this very tragic event. Detective Suter was with a partner from the homicide division. They were in the Bennett Street area investigating a 2016 murder. And while they were in the vicinity, they observed a man engaged in suspicious behaviors. The man is again vaguely described as an adult African-American male. We don't have much more than that right now. Detective Suter got out of his car. He was dressed from head to toe, like every other homicide detective in Baltimore is dressed, full suit, tie, badge displayed on his waistband. He went to engage our suspect in a conversation, and a confrontation occurred. The killer shot and killed Detective Suter. One gunshot wound, fatal gunshot wound, obviously, to his head. Detective Suter was transported to shock trauma, where Dr. Scalia, Dr. Stein, who you'll hear from today, and their very talented team did everything they could to save him.
Violence in the city is out of control. We need to stop the violence. But I also ask the city to pray for our police officers, because I said this earlier today, that when they leave their homes, their families' hearts go out the door with them. No one can anticipate this kind of thing happening, but every life lost in this city to violence is a life lost for Baltimore City. And again, I ask the city of Baltimore to please pray for this family, a strong family, a police officer who gave his life doing his duty and has served his city well. And again, I just want to say thank you to all of our police officers who risk their lives every day on behalf of the citizens of Baltimore. And Baltimore, we can do better, we will, but it's all of us working together. It really is about how we embrace our community and bring this violence to an end.
The voices of Baltimore Police Commissioner Kevin Davis and Mayor Catherine Pugh at a news conference Thursday afternoon announcing the death of Detective Sean Suter. From the Baltimore Sun, I'm Dan Rodericks, and this is Roughly Speaking, episode 325. It's Friday, November 17th, 2017. Yesterday's show included a conversation with Mayor Pugh about crime in the city, a condition she calls out of control. And if you didn't get a chance to hear it, you should. We recorded that interview just before the mayor got word of the shooting of Detective Suter. Nothing hits at the soul of a city like the death of a public servant, a police officer, a firefighter, or an innocent child caught in a crossfire. I'm at a point today where a guy who writes words for a living seems to have run out of words. I have worked for the Baltimore Sun Papers since 1976 and covered my first fatal shooting of a police officer on Good Friday of that year. As a journalist in this city, I've written extensively about crime and violence, about criminal justice, drug addiction, poverty, the need to employ ex-offenders coming out of prison so they would not commit more crimes and so they could live decent lives. I wrote about the crack epidemic that hit the city in the late 1980s and can recall police officers being killed in the line of duty back then. Like others who've been around for a long time, I remember those years when thousands of people left the city for good, and Baltimore's population declined by 100,000. I've covered 6 mayors and 13 police commissioners. We have lived through an epoch of drug addiction and related crime, surges in shootings and homicides. And the whole time, the city survived. City life continued. People who believed in Baltimore stuck with Baltimore. But there's something surreal about the whole thing. Detective Souter was shot in what, 34 years ago, when he was running for mayor, the attorney Billy Murphy called the other Baltimore, the one that exists parallel to the one we know, the Baltimore of work and school, of bars and restaurants, of bike lanes and the great waterfront, of excellent museums and the places where the Ravens and Orioles play, the flawed but generally livable city of beloved neighborhoods that will soon again glitter with holiday lights. The other Baltimore, where the violence happens, has always seemed to be a world apart, a world generally more nocturnal than ours. We've grown used to it, and there's nothing more frustratingly sad about Baltimore, the day-to-day violence. This is not some multi-universe theory from quantum mechanics. It's a real feeling for those of us fortunate to live beyond the other Baltimore's margins, out of earshot of the gunfire, and for the most part, unscarred physically by the violence. Even if you live close to the parallel, if you're not part of that world that is caught up in drugs or the gang life, you somehow avoid its draw. You manage to hold on, raise your kids. You come home from work, get inside, thank God for another day, and try to sleep. But no matter where you live, you wonder from time to time how that other Baltimore continues. Nothing has been so constant in this city as the demand for drugs, and with drugs comes drug dealing, and with that comes all the guns and the insane violence. We are at a point where we have to turn back. The people who still care about this city have to draw a line and say the violence has gone far enough. And we have to do something, something more than we've done in the past. It is a huge challenge because the causes of the crime and violence run so deep. All of this means reaching deeper, trying harder, having empathy, offering a helping hand to people who need to get away from drugs and guns and bad neighborhoods. It means supporting police, of course, and giving the leadership of the city a chance to carry out its strategies. But it also means, for each of us, just not giving up. It's tempting to give up, to accept that there will always be these two Baltimores in one, but that's not going to work. I'm spending some time now thinking about what I can do as a citizen, as a columnist, and I have some ideas. I'll be telling you about them in my column and on this podcast soon. Because I can't just give up on a city that I've come to love and care about, where my kids and my friends live, a city of immense potential, full of great people who work every day to try to make things better here. There are many angels across this city, and we have to gather them and build a force for good. It can be done. It has to be done. I don't think we have any other choice. There is too much at stake, starting with the very viability of Baltimore as a great good place. Send me your ideas. Share your thoughts about what we can do to turn this around. I'll do what I can do with the support of the Baltimore Sun and all the good people who work here. I had some other content scheduled to post with this podcast, but decided to save it for another day. Right now, thinking about Detective Souter and his family and his colleagues. Thinking about our fellow citizens who have died needlessly during another year of too much violence in Baltimore. Thinking about what we can do to turn this around. That's our show for now. Thanks for listening. The producers of Roughly Speaking are Steve Early, Quinn Kelly, and Christina Tasek. This is Dan Rodericks here at the Baltimore Sun. We'll see you again soon. Thank you.